Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 16th day of May 2026. Praise God for His merciful kindness, His tender love, and for bringing us safely through another week to another beautiful time of fellowship and seeking to be edified and to edify one another. Praise God for His merciful kindness. And before we get into our study book, who would like to offer opening prayer?
If we could bow our heads and our hearts, our knees as far as possible. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee to give Thee honor and praises, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for waking us up for this morning. Thank You for taking us safely through the night. Take you through the week, so bringing us all here together once more, dear Father. Time has gone by so quickly, but we look so forward for the Sabbath day that we may be able to come together and be in Your presence, dear Father God. I pray that You please open up our ears, our eyes, our understanding, and our hearts, dear Father God, that we may receive wondrous things out of Thy words of truth and inspiration. Help us to grow together, to edify one another, to water and be watered, dear Father, to search Your scriptures diligently, dear Father. Please bless the speaker today and bless all who is receiving it. Bless who are listening to the recording at a later time, those that are listening over the phone, those that will be listening online. Bless us who are here, dear Father. Please be with those who are sick and afflicted, those that are going through any type of maladies today, Father God, those that are dealing with any issues of the heart, any issues of the mind, any issues of the spirit, any issues of the body. We call upon You for healing, dear Father God, full and total healing in Your name, dear Father. Only as You can do it. You made us. You know just what is aching without us even having to say. But help us that even in the, through the pain, through the miasma of things, to call upon You and to rest all of our burdens upon You, knowing that You are more than able, You are more than capable to take us through. We thank You and we love You, Lord, for just being a merciful and wonderful God, ever knowing God, a just God, dear Father, and continue to be with us this day according to Your perfect will. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. And all things work for good to those who love the Lord. Amen. And Sabbath blessings to our dear brother Mike and family. I'm glad you're here. We are continuing in Thoughts of the Mount of Blessings. We're in chapter 4. That is titled True Motive in Service. And we left off last time at the paragraph about the middle of page, well, two-thirds of the way down on page 81 that begins, "This is the blessing." And we'll find out more about that blessing. We're in the subsection titled, "Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them," from Matthew 6:1. And the last thing that we were discussing is that everything in nature that God created needs water in order to survive. And so this brings about the spiritual understanding that we need grace that can only come from God through Jesus Christ and then through the Spirit of grace to you and me in order for our spiritual life to survive. And when you look at how water is transported, a little bit in Children's Sabbath School took place. The heat of the sun warms up the surface water, the temperature of the surface of the ponds and the seas and the lakes and so on. And it evaporates some of that water into the atmosphere. When enough evaporated water clumps together, you have clouds that are formed, and the wind blows the clouds away from these bodies of water onto the land. And then rain falls. That rain brings about the needed refreshment of plants and even animals. And it doesn't stay in the area where it fell, but it can group together into tributaries and streams and creeks and rivers, and it travels all the way back to the source from where it originally came from, which could be the lake or the sea. So this shows us that as we partake of the water of life, the grace that comes from God through Jesus Christ, that we utilize all that we need and in turn share that grace to others, and eventually it will find its way back to us. The Bible talks about sharing the truth, right? So cast thy bread upon the water. Bread represents doctrinal truth. And thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, the bread travels through the water, and eventually that pathway of water finds its way back to you. So as God fills your cup, you need to share the water in the cup in order for it to be emptied so you can receive more. So here we have the heavenly principle of giving so that you can receive, so that you can give more, so that you can receive more. Yeah, amen. Water and be watered. Okay. So that was the last thing that we were discussing here about the water of life, the stream of living water, the grace that comes from God and flows to everything. And we need to allow God's grace to fill us so that we can share. So that's where we left. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph, again, about two-thirds of the way down on page 81. This is the blessing of those who show mercy to the poor. The prophet Isaiah says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." And that's from Isaiah 58, verses 7 to 11. So here this principle is brought out once again. Showing mercy to the poor would be emptying yourself for their benefit. Dealing bread to the hungry. Bringing the poor that are cast out to thy house. Clothing the naked. Not hiding yourself from your own flesh. Now that could be other human beings, or it could be family members as well. So not being a hermit, right? But seeking to interact with your family members or other human beings. So if you empty yourself, then God is going to bless you tremendously. Your light will break forth as the morning. In other words, It's like the sun coming and dispelling the darkness. It grows brighter and brighter and brighter all the while. But not only that, but your health will spring forth speedily. So springing forth reveals that you didn't have it as good as it is now. So you have a certain amount of health now, but in emptying yourself for the benefit of others, you're going to have greater health than what you currently have. So if you find yourself sickly, if you find yourself unwell, well, here's a remedy for that. Doing good to others. God will bless you with greater health. So seek to benefit others and you'll become more healthy and thus can benefit even more. But beyond those blessings, God promises to guide you continually, to protect you in drought. In fact, it says satisfy. And you'll be like a watered garden. So, as we receive God's blessings and we share these blessings for the benefit of others, God will bless us even more and even promises to take care of us in drought. And there's other promises in the Bible that says to take care of us in famines. We won't have to worry about eating and drinking. Now, God doesn't promise 3 square meals a day, right? But he does promise his children that they will not starve to death or thirst to death. And that's where faith comes in, because you may only have one meal in 7 days, but God can bless that one meal to nourish your body for those 7 days. That's where faith comes in. Any comments or thoughts, dear ones, on this paragraph?
I had a comment on what we just read. I just wanted to say that I was looking at my notes when I was preparing for this last week and for this paragraph. I had to look up the context of Isaiah 58, and apparently this was said back then to people who were fasting and praying, a similar circumstance to what Jesus was talking about when he confronted the Pharisees. And so just like a small roundabout thing that I came to my mind was how this principle was essentially never changed from the beginning, right? It had always been there. Just because Jesus clarifies it on the Mount of Blessings doesn't mean that this wasn't the character of what it meant to be to give, to show the love of the Lord. And I always thought that was an interesting thing that Isaiah is being evoked despite being so, how many hundreds of years away. And yet the relevancy, as always, as the Lord is an expert weaver of time and things and events, that it can be neatly seen here. And, I just thought that was a nice thing that the Lord really is unchanged. So the promise has always.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Great point. Now, can you think of any events or any incidences in scripture before Isaiah where this principle of receiving and then giving and then receiving more to give more Can you think of any incidents in Scripture where that principle is brought out?
The scripture that says, be a cheerful giver, is in the New Testament. You said you want it from the Old Testament?
Yeah, before the time of Isaiah, when we read the text here. So Isaiah was towards the towards the fall of Israel, but before the fall of Judah or Jerusalem. So this is dealing after the time of David, after the time of Solomon, after the time of Ahab, and that. So before that time, can you think of any incidences recorded in Scripture where the principle of receiving and giving to receive and give more? Well, the widow of Nain is during the time of Christ, so that was like 600 or 700 years after Isaiah. So before the time of Isaiah.
Oh, my apologies. I guess I was thinking of with the child, the widow with the child who helped out, is that Elijah, during the time of drought and only had that little bit of oil left and a little bit of flour. But then again, I guess that goes towards more like watering your water because the Lord promised that it would never run out through Elijah. And so maybe that's a different way of looking at it. But that.
No, I think that's an excellent point there because Elijah required the widow to bake him a loaf of bread, a cake. So that tested her faith because she only really had enough for her and her son, and then they were going to die. Right? So they had to give of what they currently had before they could be blessed with more. So excellent point. The story of Joseph. Can you explain a little more, dear sister? Sort of along the line of Joseph having to give himself as a slave before he could be blessed with greater responsibilities. Any other thoughts or insights, dear ones? Yeah, Job. Yeah, he sacrificed for the benefit of his children. And he was blessed above all, and then he lost all. Which is a roller coaster of an experience. But then he held on to his faith. He shared his faith with his friends, even though they didn't see the truth in what he was sharing. God vindicated him. Job had to pray for his friends, and then they were healed from their sin. And then God blessed Job twice more. Oh, sorry, Josh. Did you want to explain more about Joseph that you mentioned? Go right ahead. Okay. What comes to mind is when Abram and Sarai was camped out in a locality. There were three strangers that came close to the camp. He ran out of his tent, invited them to stay and eat a meal with him. So Abram didn't know who these individuals were, and yet he was sharing his food for their benefit. In turn, it turned out to be two heavenly angels and Jesus that was there, or Michael. Abraham was blessed in having a son by Sarai, whose name was turned to Sarah, and Abram's name was turned to Abraham. and then from their lineage, look at how many people around the world have been benefited by the blessings of Abraham, all because he gave what he had to help others, and in return he was blessed, which then turned into a blessing for many others. Can you think of any other examples in scripture before Isaiah, dear ones?
How about when Rebecca gave water to Eliezer and the rest of Abraham's servants who came with him, and even an offer to give water to the camels? That was even what Eliezer was hoping would happen. That'd be a sign that he found the right woman for Isaac to marry.
Yeah, so through her sacrifice, it not only benefited Abraham's servant, Eliezer, and the camels, right? But in turn, she was blessed, as well as her family there. And the blessing just continued on through the offspring. So, amen. Great point, dear brother. So we can see that the principles of receiving in order to give, in order to receive, in order to give, was established way before Isaiah spoke of it here, and then Christ brought it up in the Mount of Blessings, like our dear sister Dee has brought up. And there's so many more examples of this heavenly principle that can be found in the scriptures. So it's revealing the principle that directly attacks selfishness, the principle of self-sacrifice. Denying yourself to benefit others. You yourself will be benefited by that sacrifice, so that in turn you can even benefit more by further sacrifices. And the principle just continues to go on like a spring of water. The more water you take out of the spring, it's replaced by further water coming in. Yeah, Abigail, that's right. That's right. Sharing abundance with David and his group there. And then receiving the blessing afterwards of being able to marry David after everything sort of settled from that whole experience. Yeah, like a ripple in a stone. Only the ripples here in spiritual context never cease. Gravity doesn't slow them down. Friction by hitting the bank doesn't alter the force of the ripple. And this principle is backed by God himself. He gave Jesus in order for us to be benefited. And we, in turn, are grateful and appreciative to God for this great blessing. And he recognizes our appreciation and bestows even more, so that we can in turn give back to him from whom all blessings flow. Yeah. So we're not to be self-centered. We're not to be selfish. We're not to sacrifice others for our good. But we're to be just the opposite. And in order to bless others, you can't hide yourself away from them. You have to come close to them. So the whole ideology of becoming a hermit or shutting yourself away in a cloister or having some hard to get to shrine or monastery or something like that is directly contrary of God's will, contrary of his word. And so it can't be from God. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
The woman at the well who told the whole town that Jesus had told her everything and that she had ever done. So she went to her town where she lived and told them all about Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Great point. She drew water for Christ. Christ in turn blessed her with the truth. She then took the truth and blessed the whole town with it. And in turn, the whole town came to Christ. So now the principle of sharing, blessing one, turned into sharing and blessing multitudes. So, amen. And that's how God would have us look upon the blessings that he has given us. Yes, he blesses us, but not just for ourselves. He blesses us so that we in turn can share part of the blessing with others. So what we have is not our own. Well, it's partly ours, right? But it's to be shared with others. And then we're following the very principle that God ingrained in creating this world and ourselves. Everything in nature does not live for itself. It lives so that it could benefit others. That's a nature, that's a principle of nature. It's the principle of stars. And God would have those principles of self-sacrifice ingrained in each one of us. Yeah, go ahead, dear brother.
Yes, I was just wanting to touch on what you had mentioned, dear brother, about you gave the example, being a hermit. Would that apply, I'm wondering, say in the area, and I believe there's a scripture that deals with that, in the area of fellowship, where there is a decision by, anyone to no, I don't want to be around any of God's people, but I am God's people, but I don't want to be around any of them, for whatever reason that is, wouldn't that kind of fit into that hermit thing? And how in the world would a hermit be able to bless and be blessed? And how would they, in the area of fellowship, be able to grow on their own away from where the vine is and the other branches bearing fruit? And I don't know. I just think that there's, I'm not particular on where the scripture is, but I know that there's one mentioned about that. So I just wonder, is that something that's like that hermit?
Yeah, very good point, brother. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Also, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. So you have, it's not a dichotomy, but you have opposites working together for good. Because God calls his people to separate from Babylon. But he doesn't say to separate from everyone, just from Babylon. So then, as we separate from Babylon, the physical aspect of it being in the churches, and the spiritual aspect being in our hearts. There's also a uniting together with others who have separated from Babylon taking place. So you have a separating taking place and you have a uniting taking place. Those who separate and remain separated from everyone else are not following the principles of heaven. Because in separating from everyone else, you're not benefiting anyone. And in turn, you're not being benefited. So there's a separating and a uniting taking place at the same time. So great point, brother. Any other thoughts or comments? Yeah, amen. The five loaves principle. The sacrifice was made of a couple loaves, and in turn, those couple loaves were increased to feed 4,000 at one time and 5,000 at another. So, great point. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The work of beneficence is twice blessed. While he that gives to the needy blesses others, he himself is blessed in a still greater degree. The grace of Christ in the soul is developing traits of character that are the opposite of selfishness, traits that will refine, ennoble, and enrich the life. Acts of kindness performed in secret will bind hearts together and will draw them closer to the heart of him from whom every generous impulse springs. The little attentions, the small acts of love and self-sacrifice that flow out from the life as quietly as the fragrance from a flower, this constitute no small share of the blessings and happiness of life. And it will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of others, however humble and uncommended here, is recognized in heaven as the token of our union with him, the King of glory, who was rich, yet for our sake became poor.
Amen. And notice here that we're dealing with acts of kindness that are not recognized, perhaps not even commented on. But God sees everything. So these acts are noticed by God. They're written down in our record book. So they're not lost sight of, right? But that's not why we do them, to be noticed by everyone. We perform these actions out of love for God and love for others. So love becomes the motive as to why we sacrifice for the good of others. Any thoughts or comments on this paragraph, dear ones? What we see here is that the acts of kindness that are performed in secret, so in other words, they're not performed so that other individuals know what we did, but perhaps just the individual that we performed this act of kindness for knows what we did. So the act is kept in secret, just between you and the individual. It's not something that's paraded out. Shows that the motive of the action towards that other individual was from love. You want to benefit them, even though no one knows about it. But God sees everything. He notices what you did. This sacrifice of yourself to benefit that one or perhaps others is written down in your book as done unto Christ. So you may think that, well, no one knows about it, so how is anyone going to thank me for my sacrifice, right? You don't have to worry about that, because the motive for your doing it is not to receive appreciation from others. It's because you love them, and that is the motive for wanting to help them. And so in the home life, or even in just between you and your family members, these little attentions, these small acts of love and self-sacrifice constitute a great share of the blessings and the happiness of life. A great share. So not just the big ones, but it's especially the small attentions. And these small denials of self for the good and happiness of others, including your family members, including your spouse and children, including your grandparents or parents and others. So these small acts of love and self-sacrifice constitute a great share of the happiness in life. Whether you're with your parents, whether you have a family of your own, whether it's just you and your spouse, a great share of the happiness of others is found within the small acts of love and self-sacrifice. And all of these are recognized in heaven as the token, the proof of our union with Christ. So it doesn't matter whether you receive appreciation for the act that you did. It's recognized in heaven as the proof of your union with Christ. In other words, your self-sacrifice to benefit others is actually benefiting Christ, because he's being revealed through you to others, and in turn, they will want to partake with him in their life. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I would like to share an excerpt from the devotional This Day with God that I read last night. It says, look not for great opportunities and neglect the present little opportunities. But of little things. Kindness and love and courtesy of the Christian. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear sister. Any other thoughts or comments? So the motive that works within us is not something that is natural to a selfish heart. It's not something natural to fallen nature. It's supernatural. So if you have a desire to want to help others, it's because the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart to become more like Jesus. And in becoming more like Jesus, then self is more and more being crucified. So the motive behind our helping others, whether it's a big act or a super small act, you know, is the motive of love that comes from above. And if you recognize that in denying self, you are offering a very great praise to God who makes it possible to deny self, then the small act of kindness that you're doing to someone else is actually like doing it to Christ himself. So everything comes back to motive. Do you want to help another because you love them, or because you want to have their appreciation shown back to you by them reciprocating a kind action, right? What is your motive? That's what this chapter is about. And in denying self to help others, you are actually being twice blessed. You're blessing others, which is in a degree receiving a blessing from above, but you're also able to receive other grace from Christ, which will enable you to bless others even more. But it's especially these little attentions, these small acts of love and self-sacrifice in a family that goes a long way into bringing happiness in the life. Small acts. And we can go into detail on some of these small actions, you know. But these constitute the greatest part of happiness in a family. And so if you don't do any small actions of kindness in the family, but you wait for the large actions of kindness, like when your anniversary, marriage anniversary comes around, you shower your wife with flowers. Well, that's great, but that's only once a year. What about the other 364 days out of the year, you know? Yeah, or even to a neighbor, with those who you associate. So it's not just the big actions that contribute happiness. It's the small, unnoticed actions. And if we recognize that even though we don't receive a thank you from others, God takes note. Then we will be rewarded. So it's not lost. So even the actions done in secret bring about a reward. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, on this paragraph? Please go right ahead. And who would like to read the next paragraph here? The top of page 83.
He who gives increased talents to those who have made a wise improvement of gifts entrusted to them is pleased to acknowledge the service of his believing people in the Beloved, through whose grace and strength they have wrought. Those who have sought for the development and perfection of Christian character by exercising their faculties in good works will, in the world to come, reap that which they have sown. The work begun upon earth will reach its consummation in that higher and holier life to endure throughout eternity.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So what we've begun on the earth in self-sacrifice for the benefit of others will continue on throughout eternity. So if you can imagine, let's say you're a lover of rocks. You're a rock hound. You love the beauty in the different crystalline structures and mineral deposits that are found in various places around the world. When we get to the new earth and are able to travel into other worlds, whether inhabited or not, there's going to be mineral deposits found throughout the universe that greatly rival the mineral deposits that are found on this earth. And since there's no hoarding, that's going to be among the redeemed. There will be collecting, right? But there's no hoarding. So as this principle of giving will continue throughout eternity, and someone comes to visit you on the new earth and they see your mineral collection and they fall in love with a piece of it, you will share that piece of your mineral collection because you have eternity in order to go back to the place where you found it and get another one. So your sacrifice of part of your collection for the benefit of another will be rewarded because God will reveal to you perhaps a different planet in his universe that has an even better crystalline composite of the material that you shared. And the joy of investigating and discovering it and bringing it back home for others to enjoy and perhaps share with, so it will just continue on because we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So whatever we have is a blessing of God to you and me. And in sharing that blessing with others, they are blessed and in return are thankful and grateful to God who blessed you with it in the first place so that you can bless them with it. And so you can see that it will, this principle of sharing and giving out of the motive of love to want to help and to bless others will continue throughout eternity. And think of the happiness and the fulfillment of continually growing in happiness and joy from day to day, from year to year, throughout eternity. Our happiness on the earth here is fleeting. It can be here one day and then gone the next. In heaven, it will never be gone. We'll have perfect memory, perfect recall. And so the happiness of yesterday will not be forgotten. The happiness 10,000 years in the past will not be forgotten. And it will just be as a foundational basis to become happier the next day. I mean, we talk about this now, it's hard to imagine it. But heaven is going to be so much more fulfilling and a blessing than we could ever imagine. And the things that God has prepared to make the redeemed happy throughout eternity, it's impossible for us to come up with. So this whole principle of giving out of love for others, and then God recognizing our motive and the gift, and then giving us even more, will continue throughout eternity. So the work that's begun here on this earth will continue in that higher and holier life throughout eternity. So you can understand that if we're selfish now, if we hide ourselves away so that we cannot benefit others, we'll never make it to heaven. Because the work that continues on for eternity has to begin on this earth. So we have to become Christ-like now, or we'll never continue to be Christ-like in heaven. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Questions or insights? Please go right ahead.
There are a couple of things, dear brother. And one that strikes me is the all-in-all principle. And it applies to, from what I'm thinking, what you're saying. And then there is, in beholding, we become changed. In those two things, I find that our greatest happiness is to make the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Yet I also find there is another principle in action there, and that is our love for one another to make each other happy. And that is selfless. So it's like we will have this eternity by God's grace to continually grow in doing just that, glorifying God by loving each other as he loves us, and he is happy by loving us and delivering us, and we are learning from, this is my thought, we are here to learn how to do that now, so that when we, by God's grace, get into the kingdom, make it into the kingdom, it's not a new thing. It's something of a continuation on a much broader scale, dealing with dear souls that love the Lord from thousands of years ago, but yet we want to make them happy because it makes the Lord happy, and love them because the Lord loves them and we love the Lord. And I just find it to be, in my tiny mind, such a great joy to want to be able to make my brother or sister as happy as I can, because I know that it will please the Lord, and to do so selflessly, like the example that you gave with the mineral. Get another mineral. Maybe one better than the other one. What's mine, it reminds me of the first century church, where no one had need and everyone had everything in common, and they gave freely, not looking for nothing, selling whatever they had for the growth of the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Well, once that appears, at least in my mind, when the kingdom of God is established here, that will only be an exceedingly great refreshing and renewing of that spirit, and it will only grow. So if we're not really doing that now, and we can't even break out in a smile to someone who may need that smile, How in the world, to me, how are we going to grow to want to smile and rejoice so much in the kingdom if we won't even do something as simple as that to lift someone's spirit? I guess I bring it all the way around like that because from what you were saying, it really comes down to the bare bones of these things, to the spiritually molecular level. If we cannot selflessly do something as simple as smile to make someone else's life a little easier or to cause them to feel in their heart they are wanted or loved or thought of, what makes us think that we are going to want to do that in the kingdom if we're not really willing to do that here? And that's even for each other as brothers and sisters. So it's like the all in all. It really is. And it's like the beholding you become changed. It's like those two really, to me, at least, they are like that kind of spiritually chemical equation that you cannot do without them. They are the irreducibles that you can't do without them. So that's kind of my thought in that area.
Amen. Amen. Again, the work has to be done here on the earth because it will be too late to do it once Christ comes. So great point, dear brother. And that all-in-all principle, the scripture talks about once all the enemies of Christ are put down, then Christ brings all the glory to the Father so that the Father may be all and in all. And so when you trace that principle, God alone is good. He shares his goodness through Christ, who shares it through the Spirit to each and every one of us. So the only reason we can become good is because the Spirit puts within us the goodness of God that the Spirit received from Christ, that Christ received from the Father. So when we perform a good deed, that's only because the Father, through Christ, through the Spirit, brought about the desire in our hearts. So when the good deed is performed to someone else, they are blessed by that good deed. They in turn say thank you. We in turn say thank you to the Spirit who follows it all the way back up to God, right? So it's not that the Spirit isn't God himself or Christ isn't God himself, but there's a chain of command, if you will, in the heavenly courts as to the aspect of the Father becoming all and in all. The plan of redemption was developed by the Father. Christ agreed to carry it out. The Spirit agreed to make the plan effectual in our lives. We, in turn, agree to allow the plan of redemption to work within us, a transformation. We then share the plan with others. They in turn are grateful. And so it all goes back up the chain of command, if you will, to the Father who becomes all and in all. So when you look at God's law, there's two major parts, love to God and love to others. God is love, and it was his love to others that brought about the whole foundation of the universe. So it's really quite a marvelous thing to recognize that the only reason we have the potential of salvation is because of the Father. It's also because of the Son. it's also because of the Spirit. So the Father developed the plan. Christ voluntarily agreed to carry out the plan. The Holy Spirit voluntarily makes the plan effectual in our lives so that we can be saved and others can be saved. And God receives the glory, because without him, there's no way we could be good. Without Christ, there's no way we could be good. Without the Spirit, there's no way we could be good, right? So all three of them receive the benefit, and it all culminates in the Father. So the Father is the house band of heaven. The Father here on earth, right? If you're a parent, you're the house band of your family. So, I mean, it's quite amazing. Any thoughts, comments, insights or questions, dear ones? Please feel free. Yeah. 1 John 4:20. If a man or woman say, I love God and hateth the brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So there's another principle there. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? Well, next time, we'll pick it up at the next subsection that is titled, Take Heed That Ye Do Not Your Righteousness Before Men to Be Seen of Them. And so that deals with principle, doesn't it? These little acts of kindness in the home are not done so that you could be seen doing them. They're done from the motive of love for others. So it doesn't matter whether your love has been seen or not. It doesn't matter whether you receive a thank you for what you have done or appreciation. That's not the motive. The motive is to bless others. And if that has been accomplished, then that is the reward. The giving brings its own reward. So we'll dig into this other section next time. And that looks like about halfway down on page 83. Are there any final thoughts or comments that you'd like to make before we have closing prayer?
Thank you for your patience and your hanging in there when we had all this internet problems. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, thank you indeed. And praise God. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
The Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. And may all succeed in the power and the glory and forever. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so very much. And dear ones, let us take an 11-minute break and then return back here at 12:20 Pacific time or 3:20 Eastern for our next church service, for our main church service, in fact. So we'll see you in about 10 and a half minutes.